from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Well, good morning and welcome to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, June 16th. How are we doing this morning? Happy Father's Day. Hope you're having a great weekend so far. Maybe you have a tea time with your dad. That would be very special indeed. Beautiful day. Cooler. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by the Travelers Championship. See Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, defending champion Keegan Bradley at the Northeast's only PGA Tour signature event, the Travelers Championship, June 19th through the 23rd. For tickets and information, visit travelerschampionship.com. And the U.S. Open at Pinehurst number 2. Final round this afternoon. And Bryson DeChambeau, what a show he put on. The 30-year-old, he shot a 367 yesterday. He's at 7-under. DeChambeau leads Matthew Pavon, Rory McIlroy, and Patrick Cantlay by 3 shots. And DeChambeau, he'll be paired with Matthew Pavon. Matthew shooting a 1-under 69, and they will start at 2:21 this afternoon. Rory McIlroy, he carded a 1-under 69 yesterday, and he will be playing with Patrick Cantlay, who shot even par yesterday, and they're at 4-under. That Rory McIlroy, Patrick Cantlay pairing, they start at 2:10. That should be compelling. The two had that incident on the 18th green at the Ryder Cup in Rome last October. Remember that? Patrick's caddy, Joe LaCava, who's been on this show, waving his towel, celebrating a bit too long as far as Rory was concerned after Patrick birdied the hole in while Rory was trying to set up for his putt, with LaCava somewhat invading his space. Now, Joe LaCava will have a different side of the story to that, but still, there was no love loss there between those two, and they're going to play together this afternoon. Well, Bryson DeChambeau's play was just more than impressive yesterday, but it was not without drama. He was at 8-under with a 4-shot lead heading into the par 4 16th. His tee shot went 344 yards, just bombing off the tee. His approach shot coming up short, again, hitting the green, rolling all the way back, which is done so often on this golf course. Chipped it again, and then it missed that 9-foot putt. He double bogeyed that hole, which dropped him to 6-under through 16 holes, so he had a 2-shot lead at that point. But on the very next hole, that par 317, Bryson hit a beautiful tee shot, made the birdie putt to extend the lead to 3 shots. So we're seeing a very much composed Bryson DeChambeau turning it around after that double. And then earlier in the round, after he bogeyed four, he birdied the fifth, the seventh. When he birdied the seventh, I'm pretty sure it was that hole that gave him the soul lead at six under. And then he had a physio come out and work on his hips. He said he has had hip issues for a while now. But then he went out, he birdied 10, 11, 14, then that double on 16, and then that birdie on 17. So he did everything really good yesterday. Distance control was good. Bunker shots were incredible. Pitch shots. He putt like a machine. He was scrambling from various spots. So it was really, really fun to watch. And he posted his seventh straight round of 69 or lower in major championship play. And he has become somewhat of a rock star at these majors this year in terms of connecting with the fans, embracing the fans. And he says that connection has helped him focus more and deliver more. He loves the big stage, and the fans inspire him. Now, I saw him win the U.S. Open at Wingfoot in 2020. You remember that one. There were very few fans there because of COVID. And then he joined LIV in June 2022. He won twice on LIV in 2023. And this year in the majors, Bryson tied for sixth at the Masters and finished runner-up at the PGA Championship. And when I asked him early in the week down in Pinehurst how he was going to approach Pinehurst number two, he said he'd have to play boring golf, which is funny for him to play boring golf. You know, he's normally bombing the ball, but that meant just hitting irons off the tee instead of driver. And then as far as his strategy with these tricky domed greens on Pinehurst number two, he said he'd be aiming for the middle of the green, trying to hit it to within 20 feet of the hole. And after yesterday's round, when he was asked what he has to do to win the U.S. Open today, he said fairways and greens and two putts. So again, not being overly aggressive. And personally, he has really matured a lot since he left the PGA Tour. He's 30 years old now. I think he really appreciates playing in these majors. He loves the big stage, as I said. He spends a lot of time signing autographs. He's really embraced being a showman. And he said that looking back 3 years ago, the landscape was different. He said he tried to show people who he was, but he did not do it the right way and could have done things a lot better. He said he's lucky to have a great team around him to help him move in the right direction with the content they're producing on social media. And then also just a great perspective on life. He said all that he says has allowed him to not only have a new perspective, but an opportunity to show himself in a different light and to entertain fans. And he was asked if he had regrets years ago with the way he was perceived and with some of the things he did, which, you know, people took the wrong way. He said, no regrets. It's a learning experience. He says, every moment I always try to learn from my mistakes. The most important piece of it all is that, you know, you grow from those moments, from those mistakes. And then he said, referring to everybody, if you're in a bad spot, get some good people around you. Give yourself a new perspective on life and get after it and show them who you truly are. You know, he said, no matter what situation you're in, that's one of the pieces of information that I'd give to anybody that's struggling. I mean, how can you not appreciate this guy? He really has connected with the fans, and he's turned his life around. I'll talk more about Bryson DeChambeau with Bob Herrick in the 840 segment. Bob is in Pinehurst and on top of everything. All golf all the time with Bob Herrick. One other point about Bryson, and I mentioned this on Richard Neer's show yesterday, he really admired Payne Stewart. And of course, he was very young when Payne Stewart won at Pinehurst in 1999. That was the first of four U.S. Opens at Pinehurst. I was there. I can remember it as if it was yesterday. And Bryson used to wear the same cap as Payne Stewart. He went to the same university, Southern Methodist. And I read where they actually both won their first PGA Tour wins came at the John Deere Classic, which is ironic. And this week in Pinehurst, they've been celebrating Payne Stewart. And you know that statue of Payne Stewart with his arm and leg extended, that infamous pose after he drained that par putt to win the U.S. Open in 1999? Well, that statue is normally behind the 18th green near the clubhouse. But for this U.S. Open, they moved that statue to the entrance area of the U.S. Open so more people could see it and take pictures of themselves posing the same way as Payne Stewart did. All right, so you got Bryson up there. Then you have Matthew Pavon of France. Three shots back, he's tied with McIlroy and Cantlay. Pavon won the Farmers Insurance Open earlier this year. Came in third at the AT&T, but he missed the cut at the Players. He tied for 12th at the Masters. He missed the cut at the PGA Championship and the Memorial. So not really playing great coming into this week, but he turned it around for sure. Rory McIlroy, with those four birdies, three bogeys, shooting a 169. He's at 4 under, three shots back as well. His short game has just been so solid. And he's been really calm and steady. And I think the fact that he is not paired with Bryson in the final pairing this afternoon may be a good thing for Rory McIlroy. Not all the attention will be on Rory. He can go out there and perhaps play the final round of the U.S. Open without maybe as much fanfare as there will be on Bryson. Now, don't get me wrong. Rory is a very popular player. But not being in that final pairing may be a bit less pressure for Rory, and that might be good for him. And he's certainly in position. He could win his fifth major title. That would be his first major in 10 years. Such a talented player. It's difficult to believe that Rory has not won a major in 10 years. He's won 26 PGA Tour titles, and he's put three very solid rounds together on a very difficult golf course that really allows him to showcase his incredible short game. And I love this description. Just shows you how much precision you need on this golf course. Rory said, for instance, on the eighth hole, he had 151 yards to the hole on Friday. He said he tried to land it 146 yards. He said, you can't land it 144 yards. That won't get there. And if you land it 148 yards, it goes over the back of the green. So just the precision and patience needed on this golf course is just crazy. Patrick Cantlay, eight-time winner on the PGA Tour, two Ryder Cup appearances. He carded an even par yesterday. Obviously, his caddy, Joe LaCava, is one of the best caddies out there, and you need support in reading these greens and knowing exactly where to place the ball. So that is huge, having a great caddy. Then you have Hideki Matsuyama, Ludvig Åberg. They're tied at 2 under, five shots back. And Åberg, he was leading by one at 5 under heading into yesterday's third round, but he faltered yesterday. He carded a plus three. He triple bogeyed the par four 13th. That pin placement there on the 13th was front left. Just a brutal, brutal spot. And I am most impressed with Åberg, who is playing in his very first U.S. Open. And in his very first Masters in April, he came in second. Only 24 years old. Just incredible to watch. In the last 25 U.S. Opens, the eventual U.S. Open champ has been within four shots of the lead. And the largest comeback, you ask, took place in 1960. It was Arnold Palmer. He came back from seven shots to win. The winner this afternoon will earn the largest purse ever at a men's major, $4.3 million. The total purse is $21.5 million. And that's $1.5 million increase from last year's U.S. Open. Now, Scottie Scheffler, the Masters, won $20 million. Oh, not $20 million, excuse me. That was the overall prize. Scottie Scheffler at the Masters earned $3.6 million. Boy, they're really increasing in prize money, right? Yeah, so Scottie won $3.6 mil. And the winner today will earn $4.3 million. That's a big increase in 1 year. And speaking of Scottie Scheffler, he did make the cut on the number at plus five, but he struggled yesterday. He had a plus 171. Well, not bad. He was much stronger yesterday than Friday. He had two birdies yesterday, snapped a string of birdieless holes that had stretched to 26. It was the longest birdie drought of his professional career. He said he had trouble reading the greens and his putts were not going in. And he did mention that it's kind of difficult to play the week before U.S. Open. He did win the Memorial. That was an intense week mentally. He did not give himself enough time, he thought, to come into Pinehurst and get more familiar with the course. He did say he was a bit fatigued after Friday's round, but he wasn't making excuses. But you do need time to study these green complexes with your caddy. You need as much time as possible to prepare. Scotty won 5 tournaments in 8, as you know, and came into this U.S. Open as the favorite. I'm sure he is disappointed with how he's playing, but hey, he will head to Cromwell, Connecticut for the Travelers Championship. And in a few minutes, Andy Bassett of Travelers will join us to talk about the Travelers Championship, which is this coming week. Tiger did not make the cut, and he said, when somebody asked him if this would be his last U.S. Open, he said, it may or may not be. And you have to wonder, you know, why he continues to play. Look, he's won 15 major titles. He has to be extremely frustrated not making the cut. He made the cut at the Masters, but finished last. He missed the cut at the PGA Championship, and then he missed the cut this week as well. All right, well, we are going to take a quick break and come back and talk with Andy Bassett, Executive Vice President, Chief Administrative Officer for Travelers. He will join us after this break. But first, let me tell you, come witness champions walk and birdies fly at the Northeast's one and only PGA Tour signature event, the Travelers Championship. Watch Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Victor Hovland, Patrick Cantlay, returning champion Keegan Bradley, and other PGA Tour stars in all 4 days of competition at close by TPC River Highlands. The excitement tees off June 19th through the 23rd. For tickets and information, visit TravelersChampionship.com. The Travelers Championship. There's only one.
It's Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome back to Talking Golf on this beautiful day. And joining me to preview a most special week at the Travelers Championship is Andy Bassett, Executive VP, Chief Administrative Officer, Travelers. Hey, Andy. Welcome to Talking Golf.
Hi, Ann. How are you doing today?
Good. Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. We're off and running already.
I bet you are. Oh, my goodness. So talk about the preparation. What can golf fans expect this week?
Well, I think from everything I've heard, warm weather, that's for sure. So there shouldn't be any chills in the air for the golfers to get tight. But I think what a terrific week it's going to be. You know, we've got of the top 50 players in the world who are eligible to play on the PGA Tour, we have all of them at the Travelers Championship. And to me, that just speaks just so well to what we've built here over the last 18 years, but also what we have to offer fans coming in for it. So it's going to be a terrific week. We've got all of the best golfers in the world here who are eligible to play on the PGA Tour, and it should be really exciting and a lot of good things for charity and for our communities.
And I want to get into the players individually in a second, but I'm sure after a very difficult Pinehurst number 2 experience, I mean, that course is brutal with, you know, it's so tough to keep the ball from rolling off the green with all the slopes and the runoff areas. Yeah. You have to think the players will certainly be looking forward to TPC River Highlands, because on that course, Andy, what you see is really what you get. The greens are birdieable. You can actually be aggressive. You can attack the greens, you know, in most cases. It's a totally different kind of golf course than what the players are experiencing on Pinehurst number 2.
It is. And, you know, and the players continually say that to us every year. They say, no matter where the U.S. Open is held, they say, we can't wait to get here because it's just a fair golf course. What you see is what you get. And, You know, ever since we started back in 2007 as the title sponsor, Ann, we've worked with the PGA Tour, and we've made so many improvements to the course and to make it more competitive and playable. And, you know, this past year, we had a bunch of comments from a number of players, and the PGA Tour sent in their staff that deals with golf course design, and they made three or four tweaks to it that I think are just terrific, and it just made it more competitive. Like, they put some rough on the hill about 300 yards out for the pros, where the past you'd be able to roll it down the hill. Well, now there's rough there. And they've taken down the size of the 9th and 11th greens to make it just a little bit smaller. They're kind of big and very receptive. So the tour came in, as they have over the last, again, 18 years, and just made it a little more competitive. But the players are still going to come in. It's a very fair course. Nothing's changed with the playability of the greens, just the size of a couple of them. But other than that, it's a terrific course, and they love coming here and getting a little relief, I think, after the challenging courses that the U.S. Open has used.
Oh, definitely. Well, it's interesting that they make it tougher every year. They have to, because it seems like these players just get better every year, right?
Yeah. Boy, do they ever. And the balls go further. And as I've talked to a lot of the guys, and I talked to Scotty and to Rory, and I mean, the physicality and the athleticism of these golfers has changed so much.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Over the last 20 and 30 years, and it's really changed the nature of the game with the equipment, with the balls and all that stuff. But, you know, I think we're going to have a great week. It's going to be so competitive, and the weather should be beautiful, a little warm, but beautiful, and we're looking forward to it.
Well, Scotty was saying how he had trouble reading the greens on Pinehurst number two. So, you know, yeah. As I say, the greens at TPC River Highlands, they're pretty straightforward. I mean, I love fair greens where you can, you know, they have true reads, which I think the players will welcome as well. But so talk about the signature golf status and how the Travelers Championship has adjusted to this status. Signature, you're now a signature tournament.
Yeah. You know, last year we were elevated, so we had a field of 156 players last year, and it's still a big purse, $20 million purse, so we're going to get $3.6 million. This year, when we took on the signature status, and the beauty of it, and why Alan Schnitzer, our chairman and CEO, and I decided to do this, was that it would bring the very best players here. So this year, our player field will be about 72. Not 156. And so it'll be super competitive. It's all the best players in the world. And the reason we did it was for charity and community, and also for golf, because to be part of one of the eight signature events. So there are eight signature events on the PGA Tour, right? And four of them I would call our corporate sponsored, and the others, us, our corporate sponsored too, but they're with the legends of golf, right? There's Jack's Tournament and Tigers. And so those eight, though, are so special with reduced field sizes and just making it more competitive we wanted to be a part of that. That's what we strive. Nathan Grubenauer. Nathan is our tournament director, and he is just world class with his staff and team. And we just want, we've been building this to, since 2007 for 18 years to be a world class tournament. And Jay Monahan, the commissioner, who's a great friend, has helped us in many, many ways. We have a world class clubhouse. We have world class practice facilities. But most of all, it's about charity and community. And you know, it really works so well. Last year, we were able to give over $3 million to over 180 charities. Over $3 million last year. We will exceed that this year and be into the threes. And we're so excited to be able to do that for all these important organizations. And this year, you know, we focus on many different nonprofits and charities. But, you know, mental health has become such an issue in society, and food insecurity has become such an issue in society, that we're giving more to those kind of organizations, and we're so happy to be able to help out. And, you know, mental health has affected the PGA Tour with Grace and Murray in such a sad way. And, you know, it's just something that we want to be focused on through our giving. But what we do in the community and what we do with pride in the community and what we do with the charities is so important to us corporately that, you know, we as a company, Travelers, gives over $24 million a year to hundreds of organizations to help them achieve their missions. And that's really important to us as a company.
That's incredible, $24 million. I mean, the charity outreach from the Travelers Championship is unbelievable. Your whole team should be commended. It's just, I love hearing it every year. It just gets, you know, better and better. Let's talk about some of these guys that are coming up this week. And, you know, Keegan Bradley, the defending champion of the Travelers, he came up from Media Day in May, and you presented him with a very special gift. You have to tell that story, Andy.
I can't repeat exactly what he said, Ed, but I can say that, you know, when he came up for Women's Day, I'm sorry, for a Media Day, every year we present our champion with something unique to what they like and what's closest to their heart. And we've done ping pong, mallets, whatever you call them, rackets. And the list goes on and on. But this year for Keegan, I worked with Sam Kennedy, who is the president and CEO of the Red Sox, and we were able to get a seat out of Fenway Park that we gave to Keegan. And he was shocked. He said, "This is like the best thing I've ever gotten. This is," and so he was so excited, and I'm laughing because I won't repeat what he said, but he said, "Holy," and you know, that's what makes it so special, right? And to see Keegan so excited, and he's been such a great ambassador around New England. We did a day for Boston, for New England media in the fall to kind of bring him out. He was nice enough to come up and help us out up at Boston TPC. And we had just a great day. It was terrific. It was really, really good.
Yeah, it was great to see Keegan win, you know, from Vermont there. And that Fenway chair, he said, was the coolest gift he ever received. You always have that personal touch, yeah, though. And that's, these players remember that. That's why I think one of the big reasons why they make it a point to play the Travelers Championship, because you and Nathan established these, yeah, personal relationships, right?
Yeah, we do. We, you know, ever since the beginning, every time a player has a baby, we send out onesies. We have pink, blue, and white onesies for the babies. And I put a little note, and I always say, you know, "Dear Poppy," for Rory's little daughter. And I said, "Welcome to the world. Your mom and dad are great. Just do me one favor. Here's a onesie for you to enjoy. Just do me one favor. Make sure your dad and mom always bring you to the Travelers Championship so we can hug each other." So it's kind of it's a funny note, but it's a sincere note. And Sergio's wife sent me a note back and said, "Andy, I'm going to keep this note forever because it's so beautiful." So that's what you do. That we run, it's not a golf tournament. It's just a family event.
That's right. That's right. And Scotty must have gotten a note because he and his wife just had that baby boy a couple of weeks ago. So I'm sure you wrote, yeah, Scotty Scheffler a note as well. Talk a little bit about Ludwig Oberg, yeah, because you can't say enough about this kid. 24 years old, Andy. He spoke, yeah, at your media day down at the Masters this year, and he's just really mature for his age, and what a player.
Isn't he? And you were with us, Ann, so thank you very much. But, you know, we host a meeting every year at the Masters, and I tell you, I was so blown away by Ludwig and his maturity and how nice a guy he is. I mean, you can't say enough about him, right? I mean, he is just a terrific young guy and just a terrific young golfer, and he's got such a great career ahead of him, but he knows the game too. When you start to talk to him about the game, and you know, I had a chance to read your book in its totality because I've been too busy with the tournament, but I will after the tournament. That's my summer reading.
As I glance
through some of the chapters, you know, you see these traits of a guy like Ludwig, and you just know there's greatness in there waiting to come out, and we're going to see it as his career proceeds.
Absolutely. Well, you got an incredible field. It's all coming up. Before I let you go, people can still get tickets, right, Andy?
Yep, the travelschampionship.com. There are plenty of tickets to come out. And if people are buying general admission tickets, there are actually four venues on the course that they can go to that have stadium seating, and you can get food. And that's included in a general admission ticket, and parking's included. We're the only PGA Tour event that has about 10,000 parking spaces right next to the course, virtually on the course. And so it's very convenient. Drive up from New York in that area, and it's not a long drive. You come up, parking's included, get out, have a great day. We have great food, I mean, really great food. Too good sometimes for me, but we have great food. And you'll have a great time with your family, and kids under 15 are free. So you can have a really good day at not too bad a price.
I can't wait. See you in a few days, Andy Bassett. Thanks so much for joining us here on Talking Golf.
And thank you very much. Thanks for your support and great book.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad you're enjoying life on the green. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And coming up, Bob Herrig of Sports Illustrated Golf. Bobby breaks a lot of stories in the golf industry. He's the author of Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods as well. We'll talk U.S. Open with Bob Herrick when we come back. But first, let me tell you, come witness Champions Walk and Birdies Fly at the Northeast one and only PGA Tour signature event, the Travelers Championship. Watch Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Victor Hovland, Patrick Cantlay, returning champion Keegan Bradley, and other PGA Tour stars in all 4 days of competition at close by TPC River Highlands. The excitement tees off June 19th through the 23rd. For tickets and information, visit TravelersChampionship.com. The Travelers Championship. There's only one.
It's Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talking Golf. Final round of the U.S. Open on Pinehurst number 2 this afternoon. Final pairing, Bryson DeChambeau at 7-under. He'll be playing with Matthew Pavon at 4-under, and they get started at 2:21 this afternoon. Rory McIlroy, Patrick Cantlay, also at 4-under. They start at 2:10. And joining me from Pinehurst is Bob Herrick of SI Golf and author of Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. Welcome to Talking Golf, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, Ann. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Before we get into a lot of detail, and I got into a lot of this in my intro earlier in the show, what are your overall thoughts so far this week of Pinehurst number 2 in the U.S. Open?
Well, you know, there's a reason they bring it here. The golf course is outstanding, you know, and it really tests these guys. And when you get good weather and it's not raining and it's not soft, you know, you see the test it presents. And you know, these guys have really been on edge. It's that kind of golf course, and I think once in a while this is really good. And you know, you have to really be playing great to withstand it. And even when you are playing great, I mean, look at what happened to Ludwig yesterday and Tony Finau. I mean, disaster sort of lurks, and that's why these guys are so on edge, because that sort of thing can happen without a whole lot going wrong.
Absolutely. It's so tough. You just have to be so precise and so patient and execute the number, the yardage, you know, exactly, or, you know, and even get unlucky. I mean, you could be playing great and have a couple unlucky, well, that's golf, but on this course, you know, it's easy to have an unlucky bounce or to get into that native area on you know, in the sand or on those little bushes in there. So there's plenty of obstacles. And I just think it's a brutal test. But maybe that's why the ratings were so good. After, I think the ratings came out on NBC and it was, you know, up. The ratings were great. And I just think it provides for such a compelling show, right? Because the best players in the world are so tested and disaster can strike at any second with these guys.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is one of the reasons they're going to come back here. You know, this is an iconic course, and I think people get to know it. It's a place that, you know, if you have the means, you can come play it. And all those things factored in, I think, make for a lot of interest.
Let's talk about Bryson DeChambeau, because he has really emerged as somewhat of a champion of the people. I mean, they're just loving this guy. And he says the atmosphere there, Bob, feels like a Ryder Cup. Talk a little bit about Bryson DeChambeau and how his whole image has really changed.
Yeah, look, he's transformed a lot since he won the U.S. Open 4 years ago. I mean, that was during the period when he gained all that weight. Remember, he was, you know, he was eating like crazy to gain weight and put on muscle and actually probably got unhealthy in the process and realized it was injured a lot towards the end of 2021 and into 2022. Then he went to live. You know, he was part of the lawsuit against the PGA Tour. There was a lot of animosity. There still is, frankly. You know, there still is a divide, and there's bad feelings about all that's transpired. But, you know, I think what we're seeing here this year is when you put all that aside and you get these really good players all together, you know, that sort of rises above it. And Bryson's been a factor at all three majors. Very easily could have won the PGA, was right there, was in contention at the Masters, led after the first round before fading a little bit, but still tied for sixth. And here he is again. You know, now he's leading. And he has become popular. You know, he started a YouTube channel. He does a lot of things for the fans. He's toned down a little bit of the rhetoric that surrounds LIV and the divide, and has spoken about, you know, let's try to have peace, let's try to work this out. You know, frankly, I'm not sure what that's going to look like yet and how that will happen. There's so many obstacles to that, I think, but still, I think it's a lot better than the other way, which pushed the divide that still frankly exists, but it doesn't help to keep pushing it.
Right, and Bryson, I think, is helping to alleviate a little bit of that tension between LIV and the PGA Tour, because the fans are really embracing him. And you know, in his press conference, he got, you know, very personal. He said, if you're in a bad spot, get some good people around you, give yourself a new perspective on life, and get after it, and show them who you are, who you truly are. I know he lost his father within the last couple years, and he must have been in a situation that personally that might have been a lot worse off than we might even know, right? Because I just feel like he's sounding, you know, so much mature now that he's learned so much from these experiences. So maybe going to LIV was really good for him. Maybe that time off from playing all the time, you could practice more and do, you know, pursue other things. Maybe it's been a really, well, of course, the money's been great, but aside from that, it might have been a really great experience overall for him. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right about his dad. That probably was a factor. I also think he came to terms with his career. You know, when he was going to LIV, he was injured. You know, he had a bad wrist injury that required surgery in 2022. He had a hip problem. That's why he was playing bad. And, you know, he took the money, in part, I think, because he wasn't sure what the future held. And yet, then he finally started to get back on the road to health. First of all, he took care of himself. He got some of that weight off, started to eat better. I don't know if there was anything more behind the scenes, like you mentioned. It's certainly possible. You know, but getting in a better place. Remember, he used to complain about his equipment. He used to complain about a lot of things. And he seemed to kind of try to get all that stuff straightened out. And, you know, last year, you didn't see a lot of it. If you don't watch Liv, you know, he won twice out there. He shot a 58 at the Greenbrier. And he contended at the PGA that Brooks won. You know, he finished fourth there. You know, so he started to turn it around. He started to turn his game around. And let's be honest, he's fun to watch. You know, he hits it a mile, and his short game has improved. And, man, he's made a lot of putts, you know, a lot of short putts, the testy putts. So, you know, I think it's fascinating to see what happens today with him.
Oh, absolutely. And I love the fact that he has surrounded himself with an incredible team. He seems so happy now. And even his coaches, they were talking about this yesterday after the round. They're recording his swings in 3D and looking at things like body tilt. And, I mean, there is – he looks at every single inch of you know, his body and his swing and analyzes it. It's just incredible, the data that goes into – Bryson DeChambeau and his golf swing and his golf clubs. I love it. He is a mad scientist for
mad
sure.
Yep. He's still the mad scientist. That moniker sticks from all the way back.
So let's look at the three guys behind him. Matthew Pavon, Patrick Cantlay, Rory McIlroy. Which one of those guys do you think will push Bryson the most today?
Well, I think the guy who really needs to is Rory. You know, I mean, here's Rory again. It's been 10 years since he's won a major. It's almost like he's trying to win his first. You know, it's been so long. A lot has changed for him, too. You know, frankly, if he doesn't get it done, he'll rue what happened yesterday. You know, he was in six bunkers. And that means he was off. You know, he several times he missed greens hitting it in a bunker. He only got it up and down two of the six times. You know, he was right there poised to play in the last group with Bryson. He bogeyed two of the last four holes. So, you know, I mean, part of it is you can look at it like, hey, he got some of the bad stuff out of the way. But, you know, does he have another good one in him like Thursday? Pavon is an outlier. I don't know what to make of him right now. I mean, he's just not been in this position much. You know, a year ago this time, he hadn't even won on a big tour. You know, he did win on the DP World Tour last year. He won at Torrey Pines this year. Those are great wins. But, you know, are you prepared for this? And then Cantlay, you know, I think we've expected more out of him at this point, frankly. You know, he's ranked ninth in the world, and yet he's hardly contended in majors. You know, I was looking it up last night. You know, he has four top tens in majors. He also has four missed cuts. And really, he's not been that close. The last time he was really close was when Tiger won the Masters. You know, Cantlay briefly took the lead on the back nine that day, playing well ahead of Tiger, and then kind of coughed it up, and he ended up tying for ninth. We certainly think he's got the game to do this. You know, he's won eight times on the PGA Tour. He's been a highly ranked player. But again, you know, he's not done it. On Thursday, when he shot 65, he kind of did it with smoke and mirrors. He only hit 10 greens. But yet yesterday was real steady. You know, he hung in there, didn't make a lot of mistakes. And so maybe that bodes well for him. But, you know, I don't think today you think about going out to shoot 65 or 66. You know, it's going to be tough. I think they might need a little help from Bryson, shoot under par, and get a little help from Bryson for them to be able to win.
And that Patrick Cantlay, Rory McIlroy pairing, that's going to be compelling based on what happened in Rome, you know, the Ryder Cup tension there. What do you think about that?
Yeah, exactly. They're not best buddies. Rory's made that very clear. There was a lot of tension at that Ryder Cup. I don't expect to see that, but, you know, they're not going to be a whole lot of banter either. Actually, it might be a good pairing for Rory. Bryson might not have been a good pairing for Rory. I mean, if you start getting into that, the ego stuff where you're trying to hit it out there with him, Rory's used to bombing it by everybody, you know? And so if you're trying to match Bryson off the tee, that might not be a good thing. Maybe playing a group ahead and putting some pressure on is going to be good for him. And I think he'll relish playing with Patrick and wanting to, you know, obviously he's got his eye on a bigger prize and beating more so than just beating Cantlay, but it might be good for him.
We only have like a minute left, but I want to get you back on to talk about your book on Tiger, but he must be just extremely disappointed missing another cut here. And when somebody asked him if this would be his last U.S. Open, Tiger said it may or may not be. What are your thoughts on Tiger at this point? Why does he keep playing?
Well, I just think he loves to compete still, and he wants to try to push through, and he doesn't want to go out this way. But, you know, something's going to have to change. It's not going to change before the Open next month. He's not going to play before the Open. But once the Open's over, you know, I think Tiger needs to reassess. And if he's not going to play again until the Bahamas and not play again until Riviera, well, then what is he doing? It's the same thing. He needs some reps. And he had once spoken about playing once a month. Well, why don't you play once a month in the fall? You know, play September, October, November, December, once each month, or you know, starting in October. Build up a little bit of competitive momentum and learn how to play a month apart. You know, and he's just not, you know, coming in here, he had played two rounds since the Masters. It's just not going to work that way. And Tiger still has tons of skills. It's obvious, you know, but there's competitive rust and a lack of sharpness that hurts him.
Bob Herrick, it's always a pleasure to have you on. I want to have you on another time just to talk about your book and Tiger Woods. Just fascinating. Keep up the great work. You're always breaking stories in the golf world.
Thanks so much, Ann. Have a great day.
Thanks so much. Enjoy the final round of the U.S. Open. My thanks to Bob Herrick, to Andy Bassett, to Ed Arzuman in the studio. Talking Golf with Ann LaGoria is brought to you by the Travelers Championship. See Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, defending champion Keegan Bradley at the Northeast's only PGA Tour signature event, the Travelers Championship, June 19th through the 23rd. For tickets and information, visit TravelersChampionship.com. Well, enjoy the U.S. Open. Will Bryson DeChambeau close it out? He's 7-under. He leads Patrick Cantlay, Matthew Pavon, Rory McIlroy by 3 shots. He's looking to win his second U.S. Open title, and he has certainly emerged as a man of the people. He's just loving this big stage. Enjoy the final round, everybody. Mark Melusis is up next. Happy Father's Day, and I look forward to talking with you next Sunday morning right here on Talking Golf with Ann LaGoria.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Quartet pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.